everyone, and welcome to tonight's More Success Team Prepaid Legal Special Monthly Group Call. It's a call we do on the first Monday of every month. It's designed specifically to help you all in your group marketing endeavors out there. But before we get started tonight, I would like to say a special congratulations to my wife, Stephanie, who officially wrote our 8,000th group application today. I'll give her full credit for it. She wrote the business, our 8,000th. I think that's a pretty significant milestone, and I'm proud of her for hitting it for me. It's always good when you have people working for you and you get the credit. But to get things kicked off tonight, I'd like to go out to Ada, Oklahoma, and it's my privilege to introduce the leader of the More Success Team, the Executive Vice President of Prepaid Legal. But the most important thing is he's my papa, and it's so glad to have him on the call tonight, Mr. Ken Moore. Papa, are you there?
I'm right here, Jeremy. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
I always kind of suspected that Stephanie was riding that business anyhow. I just didn't want to say much. But congratulations on 8,000 apps. That's a wonderful, wonderful deal. And the man we're going to introduce tonight, Jeremy, is getting his 9,000 app award at the convention. So you're right behind him, but you're doing a great job. But this gentleman tonight, I've been on a team for 11 years. He's a Platinum 3, and he made that on personal sales. He's a Corporate Trainer of the Year in 2005. He's an ADRS trainer. He will be trained at the convention. He's a Senior Group VP, Small Business Trainer. He's on Millionaire Club. I don't know, just so many things to stand, but I like to say one thing. He's a fine man. He's a Christian. He's a friend. He's a very valuable member of our team, our friend and business associate, Mr. Jimmy Parrish.
Well, thank you, Mr. Moore. Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you loud and clear, Jimmy. We appreciate you being on tonight. I know that anyone who's on this call can always be glad they took this time out of their schedule to be on it.
Well, I appreciate the call every month. I try to get on every Monday night as well, and I heard a few names that got on before I did, and or after I did, I should say. And Linda Bowden did a great job a few months ago and been a good mentor in the business, as well as yourself and your entire family. And it's always an honor to be featured on the calls, but it's even more of an honor just to count myself as a member of the More Success Team because
thank you, Jimmy. We appreciate that.
Well, one of the reasons that I feel like I've been able to be successful is you and Randy and Jeremy and Pokey and your spouses have always been very helpful, and if I've needed anything, you've always been there, and just enjoy telling people that I am in the More Team genealogy with Prepaid Legal. So what I want to do just for a few minutes tonight, as we all are kind of in convention mode, is talk to you a little bit about two things to me that are near and dear to my heart when it comes to trying to grow my group business. And a lot of times people will say, well, Jimmy, what's your secret? What do you do? Well, how did you write 9,000 apps? And, you know, for those that don't know me, I got started, as Mr. Moore said, 11 years ago. But as I've told people before, I'm a classic example of not giving up on slow starters because I didn't do a lot of business. As you, for those of you that will get the new profiles, 2010 issue this week, you'll be able to see that the first 37 months of the business, I only sold 37 memberships. But in the last 7.5 years since the fall of 2002, when I got serious in group marketing, I've sold over 9,200 memberships. And I love what I do. I love doing that. But two things I guess I could attribute to my success. One would just be attitude, and the other would just be, I think, working smart through networking and referrals. And I want to touch on both of those tonight. Talk about your attitude on the phone, your attitude with the decision maker, your attitude when you're at the enrollment itself. And then just talk to you about referrals and, how you can really ramp up your business by working referrals. And even share with you a statistic that I ran across just last month about what some of the most important things to us are when people refer business to us, to other people when they refer business to us. But first of all, let me talk to you about attitude. I think your attitude on the phone is just is very important. And if you don't have a positive attitude, it's directly related to unmet expectations. I'm a firm believer of that, if you're not positive about what you do, you're probably not going to hit your goals because whatever happens, you can either be a glass half full or a glass half empty person. And, one of the things that I would tell a lot of people on the call tonight, and we've got people from all thresholds of group marketing, from those that are just barely getting started to those that have sold, like Jeremy and Stephanie and Linda Bowden. They've sold thousands and thousands of memberships. But, you know, my advice to people that just get out there is just do something. Just go do something, even if it's wrong. But get out there and do something, because, you know, you're never going to succeed in this unless you get out there and make mistakes. You've got to learn from your mistakes. A great book for people that are, you know, looking for things about personal development that would help you in the group marketing business. One book is by John Maxwell. It's talking about failing forward, because even if you're failing, it's just, you just not figure that out, but at least you're out there trying. And, but, you know, having a good attitude on the phone, positive attitude, realizing that if you're out there and you don't have good sources of leads when you're getting started, maybe you don't have a good warm market, maybe you don't have success in following your dollar yet, and you're not working referrals or networking different aspects of, I don't mean network marketing, I mean you're actually networking, as we'll talk about a little bit later, in the community. You know, you're going to have to go out and beat the bushes for leads, and you just realize it's a process. But your attitude on the phone, whether you're, you know, making the phone calls or walking in the business, it's got to be positive. And follow up on those calls and those cold calls. One of the reasons people fail to succeed is, you know, as people have said many times before, the fortune is in the follow-up. And that's not only when you're trying to recruit people to your team, but also in making those calls that will lead you to a decision maker. And then I also want to talk about attitude at the decision-maker appointment. One of the things you've got to position yourself, I teach this in group school every month when I do my group training here in Alabama, is to listen and present yourself as a consultant and not a salesperson. And if anybody were to ask you, would you rather be approached and have an appointment with someone who's a consultant or someone who's a salesperson, everybody would say a consultant, because they would think the consultant would be there to help them, and the salesperson is there mainly to help themselves, to make money off commission. But, you know, when you get in that situation, listen closely. You know, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And a lot of times we get in those appointments and we think it's the other way around, that we've got two mouths and one ear, and we feel like, you know, we've learned this presentation, and we need to get in there and say everything we need to say instead of listening to what the decision maker is telling you and having a positive attitude there. You almost have to approach it about being a doctor. We're in the middle of a gubernatorial campaign here in Alabama, and although this particular gentleman I don't think has much of a chance of winning the Republican primary, his name is Dr. Bentley, and he's an actual physician. And he said, you know, he's made his fortune in medicine. He's a very affluent man, and he's not going to take a salary, he says, if he's elected. But his campaign slogan is, Alabama is sick, and it needs a doctor. And, you know, sometimes you're calling on businesses that are sick, but you don't know what it is that necessarily that's making them sick, but you feel like you've got the ailment that will cure everything, that being prepaid legal. But, you know, sometimes you've got to listen to what that patient is telling you that's wrong with them so you can prescribe the medicine, which is prepaid legal. And if you're listening to what they're telling you, you know, as I tell this in my group training, it reminds me of somebody who comes in to a doctor's office and says, Dr. Parrish, I'm not feeling well. I say, oh, yeah, I know. I've seen people like you all day, Bill. I tell you, just take this. Thanks for coming in, but I've got pretty busy today, and call me if it doesn't work. Next, nurse. And then they go on again and say, what a quack. That person doesn't, you know, he's just prescribing something for me, and he didn't even know where I'm hurting. But so many times we get out there in the group marketing arena with decision makers, ladies and gentlemen, and we start prescribing something to fix someone's hurt, and we don't even know what it is they're hurting about. Are they having turnover issues? Is it related to some situations about maybe a problem with the benefits area? Are they having problems in certain areas of the company? Are their employees dealing with personal matters that are related to certain aspects of what our products will fix? Or they have people that have teenagers that are hurting, or they've got moving traffic violations. They have fleets of vehicles. And so when you can prescribe something that helps them get well and helps their employees get well, you've got a better opportunity to do that. But make sure that you're listening closely enough, and make sure you hear exactly what it is that you're hearing. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about there. I was a little late getting on the call tonight because I wanted to see my grandson, who's 7, play baseball. And I'm going to miss a game when I'm at the convention, but I'll be the first one I miss. And, you know, he's first grader, but one of my other friends who has a second grader told me a story the other day where second grader came home from school and said to her grandmother, "Grandmama, guess what? We learned how to make babies today." Well, the grandmother was more than a little surprised, tried to keep her cool, and said, well, that's interesting, Susie. How do you make babies?" And Susie said, "Well, it's simple," replied the little girl. "You just change the Y to an I and add ES." Now, if we had been in the role of grandma, we're going to be trying to make some, "Oh, my goodness, where's Susie going with this?" But Susie was just being very innocent. But sometimes we listen and we hear something that's not there, like the grandmother, instead of getting out there and listening to what the decision maker is actually telling us. So not only do you need to have a good attitude on the phone or whether you're walking the business trying to get the appointment, you've got to have a good attitude at the decision maker appointment itself, but you've also got to have a good attitude at the enrollment. Learn from your mistakes. And if you're out there, folks, I can't begin to tell you enough how important it is for field training. I've heard Jeremy Moore say time and time again, you know, he cut his teeth in group marketing about following on Kenneth Moore's coattails way before probably he was even eligible to even own a membership and be an associate. But he learned a lot about how to work the business and how to go out and work group the right way from going along with his pawpaw. And if you get in situations where you're on your own, you try to do that, you know, if you get in a situation, if you feel like you're not real comfortable, then you're going to fail small. Don't get out there with a group of 50 people and try to do it on your own without some help, because you might need to have someone to come in, because you will always do better if you bring someone else in and get 50% of something than to try to go out and fail and get 100% of nothing. I was fortunate enough about 4 years ago, last month, to come up with a pre-enrollment checklist with some help from a couple of our Moore team associates in Missouri. They were in the insurance field, Ivan North being one of those, and Ivan's gotten a lot more involved in prepaid legal now, but he was not that involved then, and we took that list, and it's now on the group website. We use it in ADRS training, and that pre-enrollment checklist is a checklist of 25 things that you just want to make sure you ask those questions and make sure certain things are in order before you actually get in front of the employees and employee enrollment. Because maybe it wasn't Kenneth Moore, but it was somebody probably from Oklahoma that made the statement, there's very little education in the second kick of a mule. You know, probably when you get that first kick, you're going to find out what it is you need to know, but you're not going to get a lot of education the second time they kick you. So remember to do the right things, posture yourself accordingly, do that pre-enrollment checklist. If you say, "Jimmy, I'm not sure about the pre-enrollment checklist," then just email me, Jimmy Parrish at prepaidlegal.com, and just put in the subject line, pre-enrollment checklist, and I will gladly send you that checklist. If you don't do it by tomorrow morning, I can't promise I'll get it to you before next week, because I'm leaving for the airport mid-morning tomorrow to fly to Oklahoma City. But it's something that everybody needs to do to help grow your business accordingly. And then the rest of the time we're talking tonight, I want to talk to you a little bit about networking and referrals and, you know, how you can integrate referrals into your sales strategy. Because, you know, when you get out there, we're not just competing with other prepaid legal representatives, folks. We need to differentiate ourselves from other folks in the insurance industry, because everybody can claim to have the best customer service or best price or best value, but referrals can help you make that proclamation that you're an expert. And sometimes the best way to be referred is, you know, to get somebody that, you know, knows you and trusts you, and you're not having to beat the bushes like your competition, but your clients are actually finding prospects for you. And if it's done correctly, the most effective way of finding prospects in terms of return on investment is just if it helps you build your business. And someone has done a study recently in the insurance industry showing that a true referral-based salesperson, now when we define that, we're talking about someone who's getting at least 50% of their business from referrals, is making 4 to 5 times the average income for their industry. And I think some classic examples of that on the Moore Success Team would be Kenneth Moore and Wilburn Smith, because they got started long before any of us knew how to spell prepaid legal, ever heard of prepaid legal, but they got started and they worked off of their referrals. And I've heard Wilburn Smith say time and time again, you know, how that's how he did that. And he's one of the best at teaching Kenneth Moore, and then Kenneth has taught the rest of us about becoming a true referral-based salesperson. But a lot of people aren't working that part of their business right. A lot of people just go out there and say, you know, well, if you just do a good job and ask for referrals, you know, you'll get those referrals. Or that people will say, well, I get paid two ways, through commissions and referrals. But there's some deficiencies in that method, because if you wait till the last minute to ask for referrals, I've found in doing this now almost 11 years and full-time for about 7.5, that creates problems, because a lot of times those referrals are requested from the client after the sale is over. The client's not thinking about the sale any longer. It's kind of an unwelcome and unexpected question. And some of our clients, quite honestly, folks, feel they're being ambushed. Just remember this. Referrals are not given. They're earned. And in order to earn those referrals, you've got to have done something that's in the client's best interest. And to set up a referral relationship, you know, you've got to set the stage by letting them know immediately on the front end that you're referral-based. You need to make yourself a little bit different. Implant that idea that you're different. You know, when you're dealing with someone as crucial to their business as implementing an employee benefits program, they want to work with experts. Now, I may offend some people on this call, and I know I would if there were a lot of networkers on here, but I've always shot straight with folks, and I'm going to do that tonight. Because I can tell you, when you're dealing in the insurance industry, especially with direct sales professionals you're trying to recruit, trust me, I know what I'm talking about. They assume, and they assume correctly, that true experts in the employee benefit field are not cold calling, and they're not plastering the world with flyers. They're not putting their cards under windshield wipers in the parking lot. Your clients are going to assume that true experts are getting their business in more sophisticated ways, in particular, that they're getting their business from referrals. Now, whether these assumptions are accurate, that's not really the truth, because we've got to work with the prospect's assumptions, not on what we wish their assumptions were, but what they perceive that to be. And so during the course of the sale, how can you position yourself a little better than just out and out asking for referrals? How can you let someone know that you are a referral-based salesperson? Well, just remind them. And this is one way you're doing that. Let's just say I'm talking to Kenneth Moore. And I'll say, and I'm going to have a point with him. Kenneth, I just came from a meeting across town with a newly referred client. Boy, traffic's been a mess, and I didn't think I was going to get here. So what did I do? I planted that seed that I was coming from a meeting with a newly referred client. Or something like this. Jeremy, I've got an appointment at 10 tomorrow with a newly referred client. Do you think we could get together sometime after that, say about 11:30? So, folks, by simply bringing up your referral-based business, in the natural course of your conversation with people, you're making it known that you're referral-based. Your prospects will understand that referrals are important to you, that you're serious about them, and you're probably going to be asking them for those. And then once they become clients, your conversation can be somewhat more direct. You can tell them you're referral-based. You expect to earn 4 to 6 high-quality referrals from him or her. Get that how I phrase that. Just tell them you are referral-based, and you're expecting to earn 4 to 6 high-quality referrals from him. Tell him how you're planning to earn those referrals. Let him know why that's in his best interest, and you let him know what a quality referral is for you. And then you get his agreement that if, in fact, you really do earn those referrals, they will be given to you. Now, that may seem like it's a long conversation, but once you get that language down, it really doesn't take long to do that. And then it's just a matter of having another meeting with the client to get the referrals that he said he would give you. If you follow anything in the group marketing school or specifically small business training, for all of you on the phone that are small business trained associates, you will know that in the small business training, it talks about going back to that individual, the new owner of a small business plan, to ask for referrals. Well, what do you expect to get in that? Do you just expect them to open up and get their book out, their phone, and look through that? And some people will, but a lot of times, despite your efforts, there are going to be times you get to that acquisition meeting or that follow-up meeting after the sale, and they're not going to have any referrals for you. But that's okay, because if you're smart, you should have been learning everything you can about your new client before that meeting. Find out his or her associations, what organizations they belong to, who their vendors, who trades with them, who are their competitors. And from that, you can determine who's likely to know and who of those you want to be referred to, who they're going to know. And then when you go to that meeting, you simply have the list of people. And say it's 15 or 20 individuals that meet those criteria. More than likely, your new client's going to know 5 to 8 of those people. And if you ask about them, that person will probably refer you to them. So you're laying it out there in front of them. Do you know this person, rather than just say, who do you know? You're giving them a choice. It's the very similar concept when you're trying to get an appointment with a decision maker and you tell them, Jeremy, I have available times tomorrow at 10 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Which would be available for you? Well, you may be available all day, but you don't tell them that because either 10 or 3 will work. But you don't say, can we meet tomorrow? Because they could answer no. And you don't want to get a no answer, so you want to ask a question that allows them to answer. And either way they answer, you win. Same thing here. you go to that meeting with a list of 15 to 20 people that they might know based on their associations, the organizations they belong to, who their vendors and contractors and people to trade with, and who their competitors are. And there's no reason to walk out of a referral acquisition meeting without a number of quality referrals. Now, what about people say, well, Jimmy, if you don't make the sale, can you ask for a referral from someone who is not a client? Sure you can. Now, you're not going to end up with 5 or 10 referrals, and the quality of those could be less. But prospects who don't buy from you and they don't sign up to be a decision, they don't want you to do this to their companies or even an individual prospect selling an individual plan, they'll still give you referrals unless you've done something to ruin the sale. You've lied to them, you've misrepresented the product, or you've done something that offends the prospect. If that's the case, you don't have any chance of getting a referral. But if the product is not purchased because of price or because the product doesn't meet their specific needs, you can still walk away with referrals. And so those are just some general ideas about how to contact referrals, how you can build your business and plant some seeds, use certain language about being referral-based. And then I want to close with a couple other things, one of these just from the standpoint of networking. And I want to tell you about a particular networking organization I belonged to for quite a while. It was BNI. It stood for Business Network International. I actually got out of BNI not because it wasn't meeting my needs, but because I now have accounts in 23 states, and I'm traveling a good bit of the time to service accounts. And I'm not, and with BNI, you cannot have more than 4 absences in a 6-month period, or they kick you out of the club. But I was involved in BNI. I was involved in, if you don't know about that, you go to BNI, it's Business Network International, BNI.com, and find a chapter in your area. You can join chambers of commerce, civic clubs, business owners roundtables, entrepreneurial roundtables, because you are a business owner and you are an entrepreneur. And so those are some things that you can join. And guess who else is going to be in there? People that need our product, people that are decision makers that will allow you to hopefully build a relationship with you and from that get the access to their companies and businesses. And also for human resource managers. One of the first entrees into the business was the very first group school I went to outside of Catherine Walden's at Ada, Oklahoma in 1999 when I got into the business. Was 3 years later when I started getting serious about it in 2002, and I was just real impressed with Amilda Kaufman, senior VP in Ohio, and so I paid my way to go to Ohio from Alabama just to sit in her school. And one of the first things she told me to do was get involved in human resource organizations, and so I did. And I got plugged in 2003 with that, and I've built relationships now for 8 years. I'm in my 8th year of in human resource organizations. I'm a member of 2 chapters, and if you want to know more about that organization, you can also go to the Internet to S as in Sam, H as in Harry, R as in Randy, M as in More, .org. It stands for Society of Human Resource Managers, .org. Pull up your state, find out chapters that are in your area, and join one of them if there's not another prepaid legal representative in there, and you will start building relationships with human resource managers. But when I joined BNI, and I got involved with BNI, I still get their newsletters. And last month, the founder of BNI, Dr. Ivan Meisner, had surveyed 12,000 business people from all over the world on the subject of networking. Not network marketing, but networking with businesses and business people. And the question they asked was, which of the following is most important to you when referring business to others? Which of the following is most important to you when referring business to others? And these were the choices they had. Using the person's product or service myself, knowing a person's level of competency, knowing a person's character, or knowing a person's success. So which of the following, if you were answering this survey, ladies and gentlemen, on the phone tonight, which of the following would be most important to you, you as an individual, when referring business to others? Using the person's product or service myself, knowing a person's level of competency, knowing a person's character, or knowing a person's success? I was surprised at the results. I thought using the person's product would be the best way to refer someone's, but you know what the leading answer was? Knowing a person's character. And a close second was knowing a person's level of competency. Only 1 out of 6 said using the product. And it was about almost 50% said knowing a person's character was most important, almost 1 out of every 2 people. And the second was just a little behind that, 2 out of 5, or 40% said knowing a person's level of competency. Barely scratching the surface was knowing a person's success. So really, you've got to have character in this business, and if you go out there, you can't just have that happen overnight. It's got to be built over a long-term body of work in this business. So develop that kind of character and level of competency that you get by going to the conventions, going to the trainings, being on the group calls every Monday night at 9 and on the monthly group calls once a month at 8. And then the last thing I want to leave you is just when I was in the ministry, I used to write a column for the newsletter for my church, and it was entitled Perish the Thought. And I just played off words there, Perish the Thought. And I had two quotes that I wanted to leave you with tonight that were relatively new to me. One of these is from Robert Louis Stevenson that most of you have heard of. And his quote was, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant." Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. I can't think of a better thing for our business, whether from a network marketing or a group marketing perspective, that don't just judge your day by how many people said, you know, they signed up that day, or how many people that, you know, that you set up what was it, but how many seeds did you plant that day? How many calls did you make? How many businesses did you walk in? How much activity did you have? It all goes back to the beginning statement when I talked about attitude. And then the last thing that I'll mention to you, and this is very timely that it's tonight when I'm doing the group call, and they just tipped off with the national championship game in Division I basketball between Butler and Duke. But this quote was from John Wooden, who was John Wooden is from Indiana, where the game is being played tonight, and is probably considered one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college basketball coach ever. And he made a statement that I think is a great way to sum up this call tonight when he said, "Things turn out best for the people who make the best of the way things turn out." Things turn out best for the people who make the best of the way things turn out. So, again, that goes back to attitude. What kind of attitude are you going to have? Are you going to, is a cup half full, cup half empty? Because things are going to turn out for you in this business the best for those people that are going to make the best out of whatever situation the business leads them. If it doesn't go your way, that's all, as always, tomorrow. Get back up. And if you get that activity, you're out planting those seeds. You're out with a positive attitude. You're out building your business by referrals and not by cold calls. Then you can have success and know what really a true group marketing expert and star can be in prepaid legal. So, Kenneth, Randy, Jeremy, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, Jimmy, as usual, you did an outstanding job. I wish more people had heard this tonight. They need it. It'll help them to grow. And anybody that's ever close to me, you're trained, I'd suggest they get in it because it will make them money. Besides, it'll help them grow spiritually as well as mentally. So, Jimmy Parrish, I thank you so much for being on the call tonight. And Randy, Jeremy may have something to call, but you're a valuable team member, and we appreciate it. Randy, Jeremy.
Jimmy, you did an awesome job. I tell you what, I'm so looking forward to seeing you in Oklahoma City in a couple of days. But you guys, we just want to remind everyone of the 9 o'clock call is coming up in a little over 30 minutes. We've got Mr. Tony Hughes, a $250,000 income earner, going to be our special guest trainer tonight. And with that, I will just say, again, Mr. Parrish, thank you so much for taking your time out to be on the call. You did a fantastic job. And to everyone else, I will say we'll see you in about 30 minutes.
Thank you, Jeremy. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday.
All right, Jimmy. God bless.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, everyone.